This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome to the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. Greg Groeschel wrote, "People closest to you will hands down be your greatest spiritual asset or your worst spiritual curse. It is important to discern the messages we receive from our friends and know how they influence our spiritual life. In this week's message, we will discuss how to guard our souls when good friends give us toxic advice."
Toxic relationships can be hard on your soul. Stay with us as Jesus teaches us how to love unhealthy people without getting sick. Let's pray together. Bless us, O God, with a reverent sense of your presence this day, that we may be at peace and may worship you and love you with all our heart, soul, strength, and mind. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Sometimes as parents, we are concerned about the company our children keep. We want them to be physically and emotionally and spiritually healthy, don't we? And so when they bring friends home or they start talking about people that they're running around with, we typically ask questions about these individuals. And we oftentimes might even throw in a little bit of wisdom along the way about how one bad apple can spoil the whole barrel, or about reputation, birds of a feather flock together. Because we know that the truth of Scripture is that bad company can corrupt good character. Let's face it, people all around us can either be a great blessing or they can be extremely difficult. I'm so thankful to God for the healthy people that have come into my life along the way. Those individuals who inspire and encourage and build me up. But like anyone else, we also find ourselves in contact with people that we might consider more toxic or radioactive. These people, instead of being positive, have a tendency to be very negative. They will tear anything down and complain about all kinds of things. They'll even tear you down along the way, or tempt you to do things or manipulate you or put you down. And they can do a real number on your soul. Craig Groeschel, in his book Soul Detox, writes, "The people closest to you will hands down be your greatest spiritual asset or your worst spiritual curse. Those you spend the most time with can propel you closer to God, serving Him faithfully and pleasing Him in all you do. Or toxic tagalongs can corrupt your good intentions and rob you of the blessings God wants to give to you." So there's healthy people, and then there's some of these toxic people that we run into along the way. So exactly who are these individuals when we think about toxic people? Well, the first ones that come to mind are the chronic critics. These are the people that thrive on trash talk and gossip and negativity and criticism, and they pick at everything, including you. They can say some very unkind things that are hurtful. And then there's the controller, the overbearing person that is out to have things his or her way. They want to control you and control the situation. They manipulate in a variety of ways. And they oftentimes make you feel like you're losing your very identity to this individual. And then we've got the tempter. That's the person who comes along and encourages you to do things that you know you should not do. Perhaps the friend who invites you out drinking after work, even though he knows that you have a history of problems with drinking. But he says, "Well, it'll be great. The whole staff's going. Join us. It'll be a good team building." And that can be a real temptation. Or the young girl who is being told by her boyfriend I think we've been together long enough now to take this to the next step. You love me, don't you? It'll be fun. It'll bring our relationship to a new level. The tempter. And these individuals have the power not to so much wreck you, but to influence you and do some nasty things to your soul. So the question is, how do we guard our souls around people such as these and stay healthy? I'm glad you asked. A number of years ago, our congregation read a book by a fellow named Charles Sheldon entitled In His Steps. And the gist of the book is the main character decided that the best way to live as a follower of Jesus was to be always asking the question, what would Jesus do? That seems to be fitting at this time as we ask, what about handling toxic people? What would Jesus do? And I wanted to look at a case study today taken from the ministry of Jesus. It's found in the 16th chapter of Matthew. And while you're looking for that, in 16 verse 21, the setup for this is Jesus has now spent quite a few months training his disciples, and he's really wowed them with miracles and teachings with such great authority and his strength. And he was just an amazing person to them, and they were beginning to realize that we bet on the right horse. Well, Jesus took them off midway through this training and to a place called Caesarea Philippi and sat them down for a little retreat time. And he asked them, who do people say that I am? And Peter and some of the guys said, well, some think you're John the Baptist, and others think you're one of the prophets come back to life. And finally, Jesus asked the all-important question, who do you say that I am? Which, by the way, is the all-important eternal question for each one of us. Our eternity hangs on how we answer that question. Peter immediately spoke up. You are the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And Jesus affirmed what Peter said. Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood have not revealed this to you. And you're now Peter, the rock. Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And as Peter's basking in this affirmation from Jesus, Jesus turns the corner and changes the conversation a bit and shocks his disciples. Verse 21, from that time on, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and undergo great suffering at the hands of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and on the third day be raised. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, God forbid it, Lord, this must never happen to you. But he turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You're a stumbling block to me. For you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things. Then Jesus told his disciples, if any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it. Peter rebukes Jesus. Why? Because Jesus has just gotten very intimate with his disciples and shared with them his mission. He had come into this world to die on a cross for sinners like you and me, that we might have forgiveness for our sins and a restored relationship with God. As Jesus shares this with the disciples, Peter is horrified at these words, and he rebukes Jesus. He doesn't want to hear these words. And he says to him, God forbid, Lord, this should never happen to you. Now, what's Peter doing there as a response to Jesus? We could look at his response in three different ways. He could be like the toxic person with the critical words. You're wrong, Jesus. You should know better than that. That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. Messiahs don't do that. We all know better. That's not the way the world thinks. You're crazy. You're out of your mind. Or he could be that overbearing Peter who's trying to control the situation, who's saying to Jesus, in essence, We don't want you to talk like that, Jesus. Don't go there. We don't want to follow that kind of person. We want you to be different than that. Be the Messiah that we want you to be. And then finally, we could also hear the voice of temptation, I suppose. Jesus, you don't have to do this. Take it easy. There's another way around this. It's interesting to note that back in the early part of Matthew, when Jesus was first baptized, he went out into the wilderness, and he heard the same message from Satan out in the wilderness. Three times he tried to tempt him to take a shortcut, do it the easy way to get a following in this world. And each time Jesus said no. And it says at the end that Satan left him and waited for an opportune time. Could it be that, as Peter spoke here, that Jesus saw it for what it was? It was a danger signal. He was under attack. Whether it was critical or controlling or tempting, we don't know. And was Peter trying to do this? We don't know that either. Probably not, because he cared about Jesus. But there are times, we learn in this episode, when a friend is not a friend and can be a useful instrument of Satan himself, as we see Jesus pointing out to Peter in the next line. We see examples of this, where a friend is not a friend spiritually to us. Let's say you're feeling guilty about something and you share it with a friend, a person that's a brother or sister in Christ, and you're talking about the heartache it's causing you, and their response is, well, you're too hard on yourself. You're only human. Take it easy. Just forget it. When we really needed to hear, you know, you can confess those things and receive forgiveness and a new start. Or maybe you turn to someone and you're having a hard time at thinking about your mortality, and someday you're going to die, and it makes you nervous, and you begin to share that with an individual that you trust, and that brother or sister in Christ says, oh, you know, nobody can be sure. That doesn't make you unusual. They've really not done a service to you, have you? They've instead served as a kind of a chisel chipping away at the faith that you have and causing doubt. Well, Jesus' response is pretty strong. He says, get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me, for you're setting your mind not on divine things, God things, but on human things. Then he goes on to say, if any man wants to become my follower, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. What's going on here with these words of Jesus, a strong statement? Here we see Jesus setting boundaries. He sees the danger and he speaks up. He calls it for what it is. Satan using this talk to derail him from accomplishing his mission. And what does Jesus say to Peter? Stop it. No, I don't want to hear this from you. Get behind me. What you're saying to me is tripping me up. It's dangerous for me. You're not thinking like God, as I'm trying to think. You're thinking like the world thinks. And then Jesus sets the boundaries, doesn't he? If anyone wants to come with me, then deny yourself and pick up your cross and follow me. No more of this talk that you've been handing me here. What is a boundary? A boundary is simply a property line, isn't it? It helps you to be clear about what you are for and against and what you will and won't tolerate in your relationships. And we all need to make them. Sometimes we need to make some healthy boundary statements, as Jesus did in this episode. Something like, I'm not participating in that with you. Or I'm not going in that direction with you. That could be dangerous for me. Or if the conversation goes towards complaining or trash talk or gossip from now on, I need to just step away. It's ruining my perspective of the people you're talking about. Or the next time you try to get me to do something I don't want to do, I'm leaving. Or that activity isn't good for me. I need to take a pass. It's dangerous for my soul. It's sometimes a challenge for us to think about setting boundaries like that and sticking with them for a couple of reasons. The first reason is guilt. Am I being unloving or mean in doing that, or selfish? Well, let me ask you this. Did Jesus love Peter when he set his boundaries? Absolutely. And when you think about it, God has left you as a steward of your body and your mind and your soul and your strength. And this is being a good steward of what God has given you to take care of. It enhances your ability to serve Christ better and others around you in a more loving manner. So let go of the guilt thing. And for others, it's a matter of fear. What if this person abandons me and just walks away and rejects me or hates me? That's a fear that all of us have because we so treasure our relationships. It's the way we're wired, right? Well, if that fear is at work in you, God knows about that kind of thing and has helps for you along the way. Get connected to these helps that God provides. The power of prayer. It's in prayer as we call out his name, as we seek his wisdom, as we ask for his courage to stand up for what is our boundary, what are our limits. God will show up and give us the strength and encouragement we need. And if you're afraid of being alone, then find some positive Christian community. Network with positive Christian friends who you know have a mature relationship with Christ. Plug in with them so that they can not only help you to stand strong and keep you accountable, but they can also give you life-giving words as you're feeling slammed by somebody else. And finally, I invite you to stand on the promises of Christ our King, like the old hymn says. Live in his promises. Call upon his name, the one who says, I am with you always. I will not forsake you. I will not leave you as an orphan. I have plans for you. I am the good shepherd, and nothing will snatch you from my hand. You are the light of the world for me and the salt of the earth. Hang in there. I'm counting on you. Let those words be your words of life as you face days filled with people that maybe are life takers instead of life givers. Jesus loves your soul, and he promises he'll be there for you. Take care of that soul of yours this week. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we ask for your Holy Spirit's counsel and power as we live in relationship to others in our lives. Help us, O God, to be good stewards of our heart, soul, strength, and mind. May our lights shine for Jesus Christ in all that we say and do. Amen. As you go on your way now, may Christ go with you. May he go before you to show you the way, behind you to encourage you, beside you to befriend you, above you to watch over, and within you to give you his peace. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. We pray today's message has encouraged you to take good care of your soul. We invite you to share Christian Crusaders with a friend, relative, or neighbor. By making more people aware of this ministry, we can share the word and spread the light of the gospel so no one walks in darkness. Christian Crusaders is a nonprofit ministry supported by the gifts of our listeners. If today's message has been of spiritual comfort to you, we ask that you remember this ministry with your gifts and prayers. All contributions to this ministry are tax deductible. Please address your gifts to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613. CDs and printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. However, gifts to help cover production and mailing costs are always appreciated. Please send your request to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. You can also call us toll-free at 1-888-MY-FAITH or 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, dial 277-0924. We are happy you chose to worship with us today, and we pray that you'll be with us again next Sunday on this station. Conducting today's service was the Reverend Steve Kramer, Senior Pastor of Shepherd of the Valley Lutheran Church in Afton, Minnesota, and Associate Speaker on Christian Crusaders, now in its 78th year of continuous Sunday worship broadcasting.